Thank you, Steph and Eli. I wonder, as I wonder, how Jesus the Savior would die. The reason that Jesus has come is to give his life so that we might have life in him. Thank you for that ministry of music and that reminder. As we have done through Advent, we have been lighting the Advent candles. Back on the first Sunday of Advent, first Sunday here in December, we lit the candle of hope, looking forward to the hope of Jesus coming and to his return. We lit the candle of peace, knowing that Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection, is our peace with God. We lit the candle of joy two Sundays ago, knowing that the Lord gives us joy, even in our trials. And on Sunday, we lit the candle of love, the one who is love, demonstrating his love for us while we were yet sinners. And tonight, we light the center candle, the Christ candle, that represents the light that has come into the world. Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 to 23 says this: "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." In John chapter 1, verse 14, John records this: "The Word," which refers to Jesus, "became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." We've been reading devotions from our Alliance family through Advent, and this one tonight is from Christian Ballinger, who writes this: "Advent culminates in the most joyful day in human history. While many were not privy to the events happening in Bethlehem on that first Christmas, those privileged with inclusion in Christ's birth narrative knew that they were part of something so very special. Perhaps, though, they did not realize just how amazing this day was. Yes, Israel had finally received a Messiah, a king, suitable for the throne. It's also true that the marginalized would be gathered from the margins, as evidenced by the shepherds' angelic visitation. Even still, Mary and Joseph receiving a miracle baby is what anyone besides a skeptic would have concluded was at the heart of this celebration. These things are precious aspects of this story, yet the full picture is even bigger still. As we contemplate the spiritual significance to Christmas, could it be that we have yet to unwrap the biggest gift? Yes, embedded into this special day is God's desire to address the broken systems of the world, to welcome the overlooked, and to work miracles. May these things yield in us much rejoicing. Ultimately, though, what we have been anticipating for the last days is a fulfillment of the greatest longing of God's heart, to dwell among his people. God, from the very beginning, had purpose for humankind to enjoy his presence. The estrangement caused by original sin would need a remedy if God's longing would be fulfilled. After generations of types, shadows, and temporary shelters, God showed up himself to remedy this separation in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, all those who are his not only have the hope of salvation, but also the joyful expectation of God's promise, the promise of his presence, both now and forever. As we share Jesus tonight, as we celebrate him with neighbors and celebrate his coming with family, let's make sure to enjoy this special gift, the gift of his presence. Will you join me this evening in prayer? Father in heaven, we are grateful. We are a grateful people, knowing that light has come into the world as Jesus has come. And we are a grateful people, knowing that your desire is to dwell with us and us with you. And so we say, yes, Lord, may your kingdom come and your will be done here on this earth as it is in heaven this evening, so that we might experience and encounter your presence, even as we look forward to the day when you, King Jesus, return to bring your kingdom fully to this earth and the presence of God to be with mankind again. Father, how we long for that day. May tonight stir our affections and our expectation for that day, even as we welcome you to visit us this evening. Jesus, you, the one who became flesh and dwelt among us so that we could see the glory of the Father, the glory of the one and only, may we have eyes to see tonight your glory. Jesus, for those who do today live on the margins, for the poor, for those who are lonely, for the sick this evening who would long to be here with us tonight, Father, may the ministry of Christ be near to them. And Father, may you, the one who came to make all things right, may in those broken places and in the broken places of our own lives tonight, may you move and work. May your healing come. May your encouragement come. May your strength come. May your peace come. We're thankful that you are near. Father, this evening, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, may you receive the honor and the glory and the praise as we look to you. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said together, amen. Amen. Would you stand as Derek comes to read God's word, as we stand in honor of the reading of his word, and then we will remain standing as we sing some Christmas carols together.
Yeah, it's my privilege tonight to read the Christmas story with you from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. So if you'd like to follow along in your Bible or on your phone, we'll be in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had just heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may all be seated. What good news we just sang of, that Jesus has come, that he has been born so that we might have life in him. For a few moments tonight, I want to share good news of great joy. You ever have that phrase spoken to you, "I need to talk to you"? When I hear that phrase, "I need to talk to you," where I go right away is, oh no, what did I do? What didn't I do? What did I say? What should I have said? And most of the time, it has nothing to do with anything that I have ever done wrong. Somebody just needed to talk to me. I don't know if you've felt that or if that's just me, but one of the things that I love is when someone says, "Don't worry, it's nothing bad. Are you there with me? Don't worry, I just need to talk to you." Tonight, as we gather together on this Christmas Eve, I need to talk to you. But don't worry, I have good news. Good news of great joy. As Derek read for us in Luke chapter 2, and as we sang in these songs that remind us of the message of the angels declaring this, the shepherds were overwhelmed as the angels appeared. And the first thing that the angel says to them in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." Tonight, we want to celebrate. We've been in the series on Sunday morning, Advent of Joy, singing about the good news and talking about the good news of great joy that a Savior, Christ the Lord, has been born, and his name is Jesus. This good news of great joy shows us tonight that there is a God in heaven who wants relationship with you and wants relationship with me. And this good news of great joy that the angel brought is not just for a select small group of people. This good news of great joy, the angel declared, is for all the people. Which means if you are here tonight, which means if you are watching tonight, which means if for those who are on the other side of the world who have never heard of Jesus, this good news is for us. It's for you. It's for me tonight. Some 30 years later, after this declaration was made by the angels of the birth of Jesus, Jesus himself told some stories. And in these stories, in Luke chapter 15, is where we want to look for the majority of our time this evening. In those stories, he tells of the heart of God, these stories that share with us that God, this God in heaven, wants relationship with you and with me. In these three stories in Luke chapter 15, there are four commonalities. As I share them, see if you can identify them, the four commonalities in these three stories. The first story is this. There was a man who had 100 sheep. And as he was out in the field, he came to counting his sheep and realized that one of them was missing. There were only 99 of his 100 sheep. So what did he do? He left the 99 in the field and he went looking everywhere he could to find that one lost sheep. Over the hills, down the mountains, into the valleys, over the streams, wherever he could find, wherever he could look, until he found that lost sheep. And Jesus tells us in Luke 15 that in joy, he picked up the sheep. And he put it on his shoulders. And he walked back towards the other 99. And as he got all of his sheep, he came to his family and his friends and his neighbors and said, "Come and celebrate with me. This one lost sheep was lost, but now it's found." Jesus told a second story of a woman who had 10 silver coins, or 10 drachmas was what they were called. And those drachmas were equal to a day's wage. So she had 10 days' wages. And as she was counting her silver coins, she realized that one of them was lost. And so she lit a lamp, And she went throughout her house, sweeping, moving furniture, looking and under everything and over everything and in every cupboard, wherever she could find, until she found that one lost coin. And when she did, she went out to her neighbors and her family and her friends, and she said, "Come and celebrate with me. I have found my lost coin. What was lost has been found." A third story that Jesus tells is of two sons, an older son and a younger son. And the younger son comes to their father and says to the father, "Father, give me my share of the inheritance." Now, what you need to understand about that request was that that was quite a shot to this father, because inheritances were given only when the father had died. And so basically what the son was saying was, "I don't care about you. You are dead to me. Give me my share of the inheritance." And the father did something that was amazing. He didn't fight his son, but he said, "Okay." And he gave this son half of all of his possessions. That son took all of that and he went off to a distant land where he got all kinds of people around him. He threw the wildest parties. He lived wild. He did everything that you should not do. And people loved him. He was the life of the party. Until one day, when all of those possessions, all of that money ran out. All of his friends left him because the only reason they were around was for what he could provide for them. Put on top of that, a famine hits the land. There's no way to eat. The food supply has run down. And this man who had once been the life of the party, he was left to feeding pigs. And he was so hungry. He was so hungry that he said, "I wish I could just eat the slop and the pods that these pigs are eating." One day, in the midst of his despair, having hit rock bottom, so to speak, he comes to his senses, Jesus says, and he realizes, if I just go home, I could become like one of my father's hired men. I'm not worthy to be a son anymore, but I could work for him. And so he decides to humble himself and to come home. And as he's approaching home, his father sees him. Jesus says his father was watching for him. It seems that for all of those years, however long he was away, that his father was always watching for his son to come home. And as he saw him over the horizon, he did something that men in Jesus' day did not do. He ran to his son. And before his son could even get out his speech that he had rehearsed about how he's not worthy to be a son anymore and how he could just be one of his hired men if he would take him back, the father would barely even let him get his speech out and says to all of his servants, come, bring the purple robe, get the ring, put it on his finger, put the robe on his shoulders, and go kill the fattened calf because my son has come home. He who was lost is now found. Meanwhile, the older son heard of everything that was going on. Heard all this commotion of a party, and he asked, "What's happening back at the house?" And one of the servants says, "Your brother has come home, and your father has given him a ring and put the purple robe on his shoulders and killed the fattened calf, and there's a big party." And the son, instead of being excited and happy that his brother had come home, got angry. Came to his father, "Father, why would you do this? Your son who has squandered all of this, and you're treating him like this." And the father says, "Son, everything that I have has always been yours. All you had to do was ask. But your son who was lost is now found. He's come home." Three stories. Did you catch the commonalities? Four commonalities in each of those? I see at least four. One that I see is that in all three stories, something that was valuable, extremely valuable, was lost. Sheep was extremely valuable. That one day's wage coin was extremely valuable, and that son was extremely valuable. And when those three things were lost, an all-out search was made. that shepherd, that man went looking all over the place for that sheep. That woman turned up everything. And that father did what in that day would not have been. He kept an eye trained on the hill from the way his son had left, watching, searching. Third commonality that I see in all three of these stories is that what was lost was found. That sheep that was lost was found, the coin that was lost that was found, and the son that was lost was found. And the fourth commonality is that when those things that were lost became found, there was a party that was thrown. Celebration, joyful celebration. It was not quiet in the neighborhood at all. It was joy-filled celebration because what was lost was found. Jesus put it this way. He said, there is rejoicing in heaven and the angels celebrate in heaven when one who was lost has come home and has been found. You see, this story that Jesus told, these three stories that Jesus told at the beginning of Luke chapter 15, it says that there were two different groups of people there. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. The tax collectors and the sinners were representative of that younger brother who had run away to a far-off land. They were the ones whose lives were kind of wrecked. They were the ones that everyone looked at and said, oh, those people, those sinners, those people that were hated and despised because of what they did, they were the son that went off to the distant land. But there was also a second group of people there, and that second group of people muttered to themselves, they were the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They were the religious leaders. They were the ones who were really moral. They were the ones who taught Israel and who believed in God. They were the ones who had it all together. And in Jesus' story, they are the older brother. They're the one who was near but didn't actually know the Father. See, the good news of great joy is for all people tonight. And the point of those stories and the point of why Jesus has come and we celebrate his birth tonight is that whether you consider yourself to be one who is far off from God or whether you consider yourself to be one who is near to God, the reality is, in Jesus' stories, is that all of us either are or have been lost and we need a Savior. And there is good news of great joy tonight that God has made a way for us to come home to the Father, for us to be in relationship with him. Some of you may feel like, man, my life, the way that I have been living, my life would represent kind of that younger brother. I've been way away from God, and I know I've been living in a way that probably would not be pleasing to him. The invitation for you tonight is to do as the younger brother did, to come to your senses and to say, I can come home. And not just to be a hired servant of the Lord, but to come home as a son or a daughter of the King. Because this is good news for all people, no matter what you're doing or no matter what you've done. It's good news for all people. But it's also good news if you're a person who would say, you know what, I believe in God. I come to church. I serve. I do things. I try to live a moral life. I'm pretty good. My life has been pretty successful. If you look at my life, I haven't blown it up in any way. I'm actually probably would be a success when people look at me. But yet you may feel tonight like, in spite of all of that, I don't know how close I feel to God. When celebrations happen in the house of God with the people of God, I feel like I'm around it, but I'm on the outside a little bit. I don't know that I have relationship with God. I know a lot about him. I do a lot for him, but do I really know him? tonight the good news that is for you is that that same one who has come, that he is the one who welcomes you, not just to be a good person and to be around him and do good things for him and believe into him, in him, but to actually have a living, breathing relationship with him. This is good news for all people. A Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. And if tonight you would say, oh, Jesus is the one that I adore, and I just can't wait to celebrate his birth because I just love to celebrate him. Tonight is a night of celebration, of knowing that you were once lost, but because he has come, you have been found. And your life with him, he has thrown a party, and he is inviting you to the greatest party that will ever be one day at home with him. But as we read this at the beginning of our time tonight, he longs for us to celebrate his presence and to live in his presence together. So tonight, whether you feel like you're in the far off land or you're nearby but not near to him, or you're, yeah, I'm in the house and I'm just part of the party and I'm loving it, wherever it is, it's good news for all of us. Good news of great joy that is for all the people. Because we celebrate tonight that in the town of David, some 2,000 years ago almost, a Savior has been born. And his name is Jesus, the Christ, the Lord. That's good news, isn't it? I told you I wanted to tell you something that you needed to hear. I need to talk to you. It's good news tonight. In a moment, we're going to light some candles and celebrate the fact that light has come into the world in the person of Jesus. But I want to just give you opportunity here. If you would say, I feel like I'm one of those that's in the far off land, hear tonight that the Father is saying, come home, come home. And like the Son, he is invited to come to his senses, to turn from those ways and to turn to Jesus. Maybe you're around him but just need to say, Jesus, I need to come close to you. I've been doing a lot of good things. My life is pretty good. It might even be successful, but I'm lacking relationship, and I want to know you tonight. If either of those are you tonight, I just want to lead you in a short prayer. It's not the words that you say. It's just your heart to the Lord, and you may even just use your own words tonight, but to say to Jesus, I believe this good news. I believe you are good news. Will you pray with me? So Jesus, we thank you and we celebrate your birth. Because of your birth, because of your life, your death on the cross, and your resurrection, you've made a way for a relationship with God. Thank you. And so tonight, if you are one who would say, I feel like I'm kind of like that younger brother, I'm maybe off in a distant land, but you're hearing the nudge of God tonight, the invitation to come home. Would you simply just tell him you're sorry? Acknowledge, like that younger son, that you've been off on your own. But oh, how you want to come home to him. Simply confess that you believe that Jesus is the way for that change to take place. That he took your punishment so that you're not coming home as a slave or a servant, but you're coming home as a son or a daughter. As Jesus said, the angels celebrate that in heaven tonight. And the angels also celebrate if you're one who you feel like you've been focusing on success or on just believing in God or just doing things for God. But being near to him in a relationship, in the home, in his presence, he's inviting you to come in tonight as well. Maybe the prayer for you is simply, I want to know you. I want to know your presence. I want to live my life with you, not just doing things for you. And if you're just celebrating tonight, Jesus, would you bless my brothers and sisters who are celebrating your birth and enjoying your presence this evening? Thank you that this good news is not just for a select few, but is good news for all people. We give you thanks, and we celebrate, Jesus, your birth. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So the scriptures say that Jesus, as he came, is the light of the world. Does everyone have a candle? Is there anyone who doesn't have one? If you don't have one, just slip up your hand. We'll make sure we get one to you. Okay. Scriptures say that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And as he came, light came into the world. But when Jesus comes and we are ones who come into his presence, we believe in Jesus, he says, now you are the light of the world. And so as I light my candle from the center candle, the Christ candle, we acknowledge and celebrate that on that holy night when Jesus was born, that light came into the world in the person of Jesus. And as we sing O Holy Night together, I'll come down the aisle and light the first candle on each and pass it down, because we want to remind ourselves that because of Jesus, we are the light of the world. And what will be somewhat dark in here will get a lot brighter when light begins to move around the world. You are the light of the world because he is the light of the world. Would you stand as we sing together, O Holy Night?
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul morn.
Thank you, Steph, for leading us, and thank you for declaring together that on that night there was good news of great joy that was declared and that we declare together that a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. We worship him this evening, for he is the light of the world. And because he is the light of the world, you are the light of the world. So allow your light to shine. Jesus said, don't hide it under a bushel, but let it shine. Truly, he taught us to love one another. Go and love one another, for he, the light of the world, the Savior, has come. We celebrate his birth. We honor him. May the Lord, the one who has sent good news to this world, may he bless you. May he keep you. May he be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance and shine his face upon you, and may he surround you with his perfect, perfect peace. As you go, go celebrating that Christ the Lord has been born. Go with joy for this good news and go share it with others. Thank you for coming this evening. May the Lord bless you and your family, and may you have a very Merry Christmas celebrating Jesus. As you go, you can drop your candles on the way out, but may the Lord bless you as you celebrate his birth. Go in his peace. Amen.